Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we've all been watching with great confusion around the national lockdown. Even until this morning, I'm still getting messages that it is happening, it isn't happening. Very, very confusing. Matthew Parks is Parliamentary Coordinator for the Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU. He joins us this morning. What is COSATU's take on the national shutdown? Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
How's it? Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what can you just dispel some of the confusion? Because it really was a day yesterday of, I'm not really sure anybody knew what was going on.
No, look, I think maybe to make it simple, there's no shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. I think the confusion arose last week Sunday when Santaco, the taxi congress, was interviewed. And they said they want to have a national shutdown this Friday. They're going to engage COSATU and so forth in protest against the fuel prices. Subsequently, Santaco clarified already on Monday that this is just a proposal. They themselves, as Santaco, have not even made such a decision, and they're not engaged COSATU. So in short, there is no shutdown by Santaco. I think they've clarified it themselves in the media quite a few times.
Mm.
We've never been approached as COSATU. We've also issued a statement to our membership because we've also got many queries, I think, you know, because people have been seeing this thing on social media and other media platforms. But there is no shutdown. Our members are not to participate in it. Anyone who doesn't go to work will be risking that they might be dismissed by the workplace. So that's just quite a serious thing. People should go to work. There's no shutdown. Life continues as is. But I mean, having said that, and you know, leave aside the irritation, the confusion, all of that, the point that Santaco is raising is the point that we had made, that the fuel prices are simply unaffordable.
Absolutely.
They're really bleeding workers' salaries. They make it difficult for companies to hire new workers. They make it difficult for the economy 100%. to grow.
Mm.
And there is a need for government, beyond the 150-litre temporary relief they've given on the tax reduction, there's a need for much more substantive relief on the fuel price. And we hope that this will help to kind of, you know, put some pressure on government to say, yes, we need to do something. We need to do something quickly.
Well, right.
Well, really, it is suffocating us.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is how seriously is this being taken by government? COSATU, no doubt, taking this very, very seriously. It affects workers. It affects everybody. But workers very, very vulnerable around this, around a very high fuel price. Is government taking COSATU seriously?
Yeah. So look, I think it's positive that government for April and May gave the 150-litre tax rebate, because that obviously does have an impact upon the fiscus. It means they have to find money elsewhere. It was positive they extended it only for June and partially for July. But look, that we need to do much more than just putting plaster on it. We need to look at, can we reduce the taxes? Because taxes consume about a third of the fuel price, about 8 rand a litre. Can we reduce the reduction in fuel levy? But that would mean getting the Rolex in front back on a sustainable financial path, which includes tabling legislation in Parliament to do that. We also need to look at other measures too. Can we deregulate the fuel price, allow competition between petrol stations? But I think also other critical stuff is to lessen our dependence upon private transport. So let's get all metro rail lines up and working, because that's going to help 10 million urban commuters. Let's get Transnet fully operational, because that helps move our goods from truck to trains, but also can we look at investing more in public transport, taxis and buses, which really are the backbone of public transport? Can we also look at beginning to move our vehicles, be it cars, buses, trains, from fuel to electric and hydro? Because there's always going to be some crisis in the Middle East and the world, which is going
well,
to
I was just going to say, we've seen this, you know, and some things are beyond South Africa's control. The fact is that we've been, it's almost like a comorbidity. We've been, somebody, a country is very vulnerable to this because of the inefficiencies that you've just mentioned in terms of lack of transport, public transport, dependency on fuel, private transportation, etc. So we were going to feel this the minute some form of crisis hit. But we shouldn't think that when Ukraine and Russia, assuming this sorts itself out, we shouldn't think that we're no longer vulnerable. We are.
Yeah, I remember 20 years ago when the U.S. invaded Iraq. Oil price also jumped to $120 a barrel. We have no control over that. We're importing, oil-importing nation. So let's reduce our dependency upon oil, you know?
Absolutely.
And then you'll mitigate some of the shocks. You will not be so vulnerable to them. And, of course, the other positive reason why you should be moving away from fossil fuels, for environmental reasons.
Of course.
And so forth, you know. But, I mean, the crisis is a good thing, so let's use it, take advantage of it, and fix our public transport and metro rail, let's fix Transnet. You know, let's also invest more in electric vehicles, because that is the future, and that's a way to create local jobs. We have a multi-manufacturing industry. We need to move it to electric vehicles, you know.
And again, if we can get that going, we're then employing more people as well, giving more people jobs. And the cycle is just an incredibly positive one, instead of being the negative cycle that we find ourselves in at the moment.
Yeah. So it's up to us if we want to move with speed. But, I mean, unfortunately, the time government moves too slowly.
Mm.
So the Road Accident Fund has been a cesspool of mismanagement, also partly because some of the lawyers have milked it dry for profit. For their own profit. Government tabled two bills to overhaul it to get it back on a sound financial footing, because its current liabilities is about 400 billion rand, so it's a huge liability to the country. Parliament rejected those bills for some strange reason. I suspect there was some underlying reason that somebody had made a donation to some MPs.
You're so cynical. Why are you so cynical?
The way the lawyers were lobbying on this thing, it made me very cynical. I mean, we would lobby ourselves, and it is unbelievable. But anyway, governors agreed they must retable this thing. What they're going to do then is to remove the lawyers from the Rolex and claims. You'll claim directly to government, like you do with the UIF or the compensation fund or the pension fund and so forth. Of course, it means government must make sure the RAF works properly and people don't have to resort to lawyers to get their cases sorted. And it's also going to, like with the UIF, shift the money that's paid out to the poor, you know, those who can't afford private insurance, etc. It really should be directed, not to the wealthy. But again, the solution's in government's hands. If government doesn't move with speed, then, well, we shouldn't be surprised why things don't improve.
100%. Matthew Parks, Parliamentary Coordinator for Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU, speaking an incredible amount of sense.